Thank you very much. So I would like to talk about some recent activity on the theoretical design. So because we learned much about the topological aspect of the electing states, then my interest is how to realize the real phenomena in real materials. So that is the focus of my talk. So first of all, I would like to thank the organizer, Charlie and Andreas and Joel and Shoryang, for this nice, exciting meeting. So these are my collaborators. Basically, my talk is composed of the four our recent papers. So the one is this Oak Ridge and Knoxville and Boston and Oak Ridge group. We have been talking about the superlattice of the transition metal oxides. So this is the first one. And the second one is a collaboration within the Riken and U Tokyo. So Bahrami is the first principal band structure guy, and also Ryotaro Arita is my colleagues in U Tokyo. And the last one is this is a very recent. So because I have almost no duty here, so that's why I could work on this paper and finish within my stay here. So this is a very recent one. Okay, I think this is almost needless to say, but now we are interested in the twist of the electric wave function as a non-trivial fiber bundle. So once you have some non-trivial structure of the block wave function, then you have a topological phenomena. So now we have almost a complete classification scheme of this twist in condensed matter systems. Okay, so now this is my idea. So first, we should look at the method, how we can control the materials and also the systems by introducing several structures. And now we are about the issues. And then once you control this stuff, then eventually you can realize this rich phenomena. Let me start with the method. So of course, the most original one should be the periodic table. Which element you will pick up, right? And then you can choose the orbital of the material. And in addition to this periodic table, now we have a topological periodic table, namely the tenfold wave. So this looks quite different, but eventually they will combine with each other. And if you form the crystal, then you should worry about the symmetries of the systems, which is determined by the crystal structure. But sometimes you can make an artificial structure, like an interface on the over the super structure. And sometimes you can introduce the disorder and doping. And you can also change the electron doping levels by FET or introducing some external field, like a pressure, electric field, or magnetic field. So we have many methods to control the system, right? And by this method, we can control these issues. Of course, the first important is the band structure and the spin orbit interaction. And in addition to this single particle picture, now we are interested in the electronic correlations and magnetic ordering, and disorder induced localization, and also superconductivity, including the proximity effect. And sometimes we are looking for the Majorana fermions related to the superconductivity. So these are the issues. So now the phenomena, many fancy phenomena are expected, quantum spin Hall effect, and quantum anomalous Hall effect, and even the quantum fractional anomalous Hall effect is now on the big issue, and quantum thermal Hall effect. This is also interesting. And as we heard last week, this topological magneto-electric effect is the most characteristic of the three-dimensional topological insulator. And also, I want to draw your attention to the topological quantum phase transition between the non-trivial topological phase and the trivial topological phase. So this will be next interesting issues. And once you have a superconductivity, of course, we have a transport related to this junction and the interface. So these issues will be discussed in my talk. Okay, I think it is almost needless to say, but what I want to claim here is that for this quantized Hall effect, so this technology or material science, this development, advancement was quite essential to realize this beautiful quantum Hall effect, which is mentioned in this press release in the Nobel Prize in Physics. So actually, these real materials and our theoretical concept are closely related, actually. It is a kind of surprise to me that this abstract formula really explains the physics, which is realized in this semiconductor system. But in any case, this sigma xy measurable quantity is related to the topological number and this k-space, two-dimensional k-space, namely the torus, can be characterized by the some topological index associated with this mapping from the k-space to the wave function space, right? And this monopole structure living in this torus gives you the quantized sigma xy. I think this is a well-known story. Okay, but now Haldane, 1988, invented a very interesting model defined on the honeycomb lattice. And even without the Landau levels, you can have a quantized Hall effect. So the trick is that you introduce some next neighbor hopping, which is complex. So then you can enclose, you can close some loop, then that will enclose a flux, right? Even though the total flux penetrating this cell is 0 or 2 pi, then because of this, you have two atoms in the cell. Then depending on the band, so the effective flux of each band is different. So that's why sometimes you could have the finite Chan number for conduction band and valence band. And as you know, because of this honeycomb lattice structure, you have a Dirac fermions at the K and K prime point, and you have opened the gap by introducing this complex transfer integral. So this is a very fundamental and important work. Okay, but now this model looks a little bit artificial, right? How you can make this complex transfer integral between the next nearest neighbors? So this is a kind of a toy model at that moment. But actually, it is not that unrealistic. So actually, we have been working on the anomalous Hall effect in the transition metal oxides. And we made a very simple model made from the so-called T2G orbital. So the T2G is the XY, YZ, and ZX orbitals under the influence of the crystal field splitting by the octahedron symmetry. And then there is some trick, namely I shift this P orbital of the oxygen a little bit. Then you have some kind of effective Jarzynski-Moria interaction. But now you assume this spin orbit interaction for each d orbitals and ferromagnetic moment, and you solve this bound structure. So this is a very simple 6 by 6 Hamiltonian, and then you obtain these bands. So nothing unusual. But what is unusual is the following. Even though you have no gap, right? So there is no there is overlap of the band dispersion, but at each k point you have a gap, right? At each k point, all the bands are separated. So then I can define the Chan number for each of the band, because you can trace this band dispersion all around the Fermi Brillouin zone, first Brillouin zone. Then you can define the Chan number for each of the band. And surprisingly, this very simple model produce this kind of non-zero Chan number for each them. So that's why this spin orbit coupling combined with time reversal symmetry breaking gives you the Chan number in a very, very realistic model. So this motivated me to think about this anomalous Hall effect from the viewpoint of this very curvature in momentum space.
Okay. Is there a simple reason why it goes like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 with the automated sign?
Yeah, good point. But yeah, this actually depends on the details. So if you change the parameter, this can change. Yeah. But there is a sum rule that if you sum up all this, it should be zero. So plus and minus should be canceled. But I do not see such a staggered ordering in every case. Okay. So now I think this is also needless to say, but now Charlie Kang and Mere introduced a way to open the gap without breaking the time reversal symmetry, and they observed the so-called quantum spin Hall system with a finite range of the parameters. Even though you have mixed up the spin up and spin down, this phase is characterized by the G2 topological number. So then this is a very starting of this topological insulator. But again, they use a honeycomb lattice, right? So for this field, so honeycomb lattice is a very important and special. Okay, so now in addition to this two-dimensional quantum systems, we have a three-dimensional quantum topological insulators and so on. But up to now, all the materials S orbital and P orbitals, namely the electron relevant to this topological insulator is S and P. So that's why this is weakly correlated. So then the band structure calculation works almost perfectly. So then we are now interested in these D orbitals. So because you can have superconductivity, magnetism, and many other many body effects observed in the D electrons, right? So then the interest is what is the interplay between the topological order and the correlation effect. So this is a basic motivation we are looking for this D orbitals, topological states. And Leon is also working on that, and Jonbeck and Franz, and we, including Xiaoyang and Su Chang, have been working on that. So this is a periodic table for the transition metal ions, right? So these are 3D and 4D and 5D. So if you increase the atomic number, then the atom gets heavier and heavier. That means a stronger spin orbit coupling. And the extent of the wave function gets wider and wider, more extended. So that's why electron correlation is the strongest for the 3D transition metal ions. So that's why this 3D elements are full of magnetism and superconductivity and so on, so-called strongly correlated electronic systems. But now we are interested in this 4D and 5D. And especially recently Korean people studied this particular 214 materials, strontium iridate. So this material is very strongly spin orbit coupled, which is typically 0.5 electron volt, which is comparable to the electron correlation. So that's why this is regarded as ideal systems to study the correlation interplay between the correlation and the electron spin orbit interaction. Okay, so now with a very strong spin orbit coupling, so the this orbital and the spins are mixed up, then you form some effective J effective 1/2 with this wave function, and this orbital and spin hybridize strongly coupled, and we have this I, namely the wave function becomes complex. So then if you have this D orbital here and the P orbitals here, so then if you take the overlap integral between the two orbitals. So this integral becomes complex, right? And also this phase is the opposite for the up spin and down spin. So that's why you have a complex transfer integral with a complex conjugate to each other for the spin up and spin down respectively. So this is some element to have the topological phase, namely the complex transfer integral. So now these materials I learned from Hide Takagi in Rikem. And then he showed me that the basic structure is the honeycomb. So I'm very sensitive to the honeycomb. So then I jump into these materials and then consider the band structure. So here is the oxygen, right? So the this iridium atom is surrounded by the octahedron of the oxygens, right? So then if you consider the hopping from here to here through the oxygen atoms, then you may say you have this complex phase and complex phase. But this complex phase canceled out with the other path. So that's why from here to here, you have no complexity of the transfer integral. But if you go from here to here, so there is an imbalance between this side and this side, because here is a vacancy. So that's why this transfer from here to here gets a complex phase. It depends on the spin direction. So that's why this band structure turns into topological without breaking the time reversal symmetry. So we showed that this band structure is a three-dimensional quantum spin hole system, namely the weak topological insulator. So this is early history. But now this single crystal is not so easy to make. So Takagi-san is still struggling to make a big single crystal. So then we look for other possibility. And now Harold Fang is my good friend, and who is now at Stanford University. And he is also staying at Riken for some period in period. So then we talk to each other. And then it turned out this superlattice of the transition metal oxide is a very promising candidate to realize the topological phase of the correlated electrons. So that's why we are now interested in this superlattice structure or interface of the perovskite structure.
So internally they already realized
this
kind of superlattice?
Yeah, but yeah, there are some material which show the 111 structure. But mostly 001 is the most common.
So this is what they control? Do they grow equally like
an MBE or yeah, MBE, yeah. So this is atomically flat. Very clean system can be made. So there are great flexibility, tunable lattice constant and carrier density, and even the spin orbit interaction and the correlation strength can be tuned. So then we consider the following possibilities. Namely, we are conscious about the honeycomb system. So if you look at this perovskite from 111 direction, so then you can make a honeycomb. So that is a very naive idea, but actually this idea works, right? So now this is the upper layer and the lower layer. So this is the transition metal ions, and this yellow one is oxygen, and the green one is a rare earth. So this is a perovskite. And then there are two types of transition metal ions, upper layer and the lower layer. So this is a bilayer 111 structure. So but you can regard this as a honeycomb. So in the case of graphene, it is not so easy to introduce Stargard potential for the A and B sublattice. But in this case, it is much easier. You can easily differentiate the A site and B site. So this is another advantage. But also, you can make it symmetric between the A site and B site by introducing the inversion symmetry. OK. So this is a cartoon for this perovskite structure. And this is a 111 projection. And then you have this income lattice, right? And then we can make a kind of a graphene from the transition metal oxide. And inversion symmetry could be broken by adding the asymmetric sublattice who are gating by the electric field. And more importantly, if you are looking at crystal symmetry, so there is a lowering of the symmetry from octahedral to trigonal. Actually, this becomes crucial in the following consideration. So this is the reason, right? So here we have T2G and EG orbitals under the influence of the octahedral symmetry, XY, YZ, ZX, and A square minus Y square and Z square. But now this one is further split into this scheme by the spin orbit coupling. So this EG, there is no spin orbit coupling within this EG orbitals. But within this T2G, this acts as the effective P orbital with a spin orbital angular momentum 1. So then you have a J effective 1 half and J effective 3 halves. So this is what I described previously for the iridium oxide. Right? So these are spin orbit coupling. But if you approach from this side, namely lowering the symmetry, from the octahedral to trigonal, then you have a splitting of the T2G orbitals into A1G and the EG, right? But now combining this spin orbit and trigonal symmetry, then you end up with some second order spin orbit coupling for the EG manifold. So this will be quite important for the topological state of the EG materials. So the prediction is for both this T2G and the EG, by combining the spin orbit coupling and the low order symmetry, namely the trigonal symmetry, we can make the system topological. So that's a prediction. So you can make a tight binding Hamiltonian, but now we are fully taking into account this orbital structure. This is quite a complicated structure. But this is quite a realistic parameterization of the real band structure. So this is a crystal field splitting due to the trigonal symmetry. This is a spin orbit coupling. This is a transfer integral, which depends on the pair of the orbitals. And this is a symmetry, inversion symmetry, breaking potential between the A site and B site. So this is a tight binding Hamiltonian. Okay, let me start with the T2G orbitals with a small spin orbit coupling compared with the transfer integral. But in this case, this mixture of the J1 half and 3 halves occurs for the generic K point. But you can see again this Dirac structure appears for the K point and also K prime point. And then if you introduce the spin orbit coupling with the red line, then this original massless Dirac will open the gap. So this gap is due to the spin orbit interaction. And you can count the G2 number for this band structure. There are many non-trivial G2 is 1 bands produced, right? So then this is a calculation results for the open boundary condition. For the torus, not the torus, cylinder, then you have these helical edge channels produced. And from this picture, you can conclude that electron number 2 and 4 and 5 are possible candidates for the two-dimensional topological insulator made from the T2G orbital for the 111 bilayer materials. So surprisingly, it is not so rare. Very often, this band structure becomes topological. And also, you can think about the other limit where the spin orbit is large. Then this is similar to the iridate situation. And again, we open the gap at this K point due to the crystal symmetry, lowered crystal symmetry by trigonal. So this will open the gap, and the system becomes, again, the topological insulator. So in this case, the 2 electrons and 5 electrons are possible candidates. So in the case of EG orbitals, right? So as I said, by combining this crystal field and the spin orbit coupling, you can gain the second order perturbation Hamiltonian for the spin orbit coupling. So even though there is no matrix element within the EG orbitals, there is a matrix element between the EG and T2G. And also delta induced the second order spin orbit effect. So this is the effective Hamiltonian, right? So then we obtain some effective spin orbit coupling within the EG manifold. So this again leads to this interesting structure, namely without the spin orbit coupling, you have this Dirac point. And by the spin orbit, you open the gap, and the G2 number becomes, this is a 0, 1, and 0, 1. That means here you have H channels for the helical H modes, right? And also we obtain some relatively flat band with a G2 number non-zero here and here. For the lowest and the highest, you have a non-trivial G2 almost flat band for the EG electrons. So this is a prediction, namely EG1, 2, 3 are possible candidates for the topological states.
So the green band without the zero coupling is
yes.
Really flat in the top and bottom?
Yeah, almost a flat.
So what's the, is there a simple reason?
Yeah, actually in this case we assume the this one is almost zero. So this is there are three transfer integral parameters between the d orbitals. So one is sigma, pi, and delta, three kinds. And if you change the ratio, then this flatness changes. And this is the case where V delta is put to be zero.
Which one is delta?
Sigma is the strongest one, this one. And the pi is something like that.
Yeah.
And delta is even smaller. Yeah, so there are this transfer integral between the d orbitals. Angle dependence is fully characterized by the three parameters, so called the Slater integral. So then this one is supposed to be the smallest. But comparing with the real first principle bound calculation, this dispersion is typically 0.2 electron volt. But that one is still smaller than this Coulombic interaction. So then this fractionalization should be okay. So that is our
question about this. So I mean, for this kind of general way to get a flat band,
yeah.
You kind of like start from a flat band, but
yeah.
When you start from a flat band, it all kind of always cross with the other one, like gamma point. But then you kind of turn on the spin orbit gap like this. But in this way, it seems that I'll always get the spread, the bandwidth of that flat band to be comparable with the gap.
Yeah.
They are coming from the
spin. Yeah, yeah.
But I thought we needed something like the gap is much larger than the bandwidth to get.
Of course, once you have these parameters finite, then you get the dispersion. Then the dispersion should be comparable or smaller than the gap size.
Right? If I don't have that. In this case, because the same time when you introduce a gap, you also introduce the dispersion. So the dispersion, the bandwidth is always comparable with that gap.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, actually, this is the case, right? Compared with the green, you open the gap, then the dispersion obtained from this gap opening is comparable.
So that's my concern. I mean, it seems that means the interaction, I mean...
No. I see.
So, okay. I thought you need a bandwidth much smaller than the band gap to call it that.
Probably what you're saying is it possible to single out, project out?
Yeah.
Only this state, that is bigger than 1 hour.
Maybe it's too early, not maybe later.
Okay.
But even if you can't check out the other bands, if it's flat compared to interaction energy scale, it's still going to have strong interaction effects. It just means you can't do that projection.
Yeah, that's
to separate. To separate.
But the problem is that only near that crossing, only near that that crossing point,
yeah,
you have eventually the very curvature is blocking you as you move in that flat. The between the part where it's really flat, that's already flat without any.
Sure.
So
concern is that the interesting part of using the quality is the part which is not flat. Okay. Okay. So now, if you look at the Dirac, so you can easily destroy this Z2 index by introducing the asymmetry, right? Because this is a Dirac point. So if you introduce AB sublattice alternation, then this becomes trivial, right? But compared with this, this band gap, namely the topological gap, is much more robust against the inversion symmetry. But this Antera effect will destroy this gap also. So then there are several issues you need to think about. Depends on the gap. So the robustness is different against the different interaction. Okay, so now go to this real periodic table, and then we have been looking at this transition metal ions for 4D and 5D, and going to the band structure calculation. And actually, when you have a lanthanum for the rare earth, this B side becomes 3+, and for the strontium, it becomes 4+. So then you can change the occupations of the transition metal ions. And I make this periodic array of the bilayers. And actually, already there are several reports and references to realize this series of transition metal oxides, right? And then this is not so unrealistic. Okay, so now we tried several materials. And unfortunately, this rhenium, lanthanum rhenium, and strontium rhodium, these are metals, right? This is not a topological insulator. But the osmium and iridate, so this becomes a topological insulator, with a gap of 20 milli and 55 milli EV, respectively. So this is good. And also EG systems, so this lanthanum silver and the lanthanum gold, this becomes a topological insulator. And especially this lanthanum gold has a quite a large gap, typically 2000 Kelvin. So this should be a room temperature, two-dimensional topological insulator. So surprisingly, EG is more fits to the topological insulator compared with the T2G.
Is there some comparison of the band calculations for just the strontium iridate, the 113, to some measurements?
There is no. There is no data for the 111 by the strontium iridate at the moment.
Bulk.
Oh, I see.
As a benchmark of how well these are doing, right? So we know that.
Oh, I see.
Iridate is actually a mod insulator. Mm-hmm. Not captured by the LDA. How good? And there you're also talking bilayer system, similarly 2D.
Yeah. So the LDA usually is not so good to measure the band gap. Right. So.
Well, optics, I don't know. Is there? I just wonder if there's any benchmark in this. This kind of ID-like systems work. You actually see how well this is actually working.
Yeah, actually, in the case of the strontium 214, this LDA, of course, you need to introduce the magnetic ordering to represent the MOST insulator. But actually, compared with the rhodium and the iridate, so they can systematically reproduce the MOST insulator for the iridium. And also the metal for the rhodium. So So this 3D, 4D, 5D, you have a non-monotonic behavior, right? So that one could be reproduced.
But here we're talking about quite small energy scale things. To
yeah.
To get the kind of 40, let's say 100 millivolt things correct. Maybe more challenging.
Yeah.
Talking about half an electron volt.
Okay. Yeah, even though this magnitude of the gap might not be so exact, but first we have this Dirac point, and this Dirac point will be gapped by this snail coupling and lower the symmetry. So that's why I think this gap opening is rather robust. But this
in a trivial way.
Oh, of course, for example, if you introduce the standard AD potential, and the gap becomes a trivial. Yeah. Okay, this is a case, right? For example, if you have a different sublattice, so this gap becomes a trivial, but for this combination, this gap still remains non-trivial. So that's by changing the sublattice, you can control the trivial and non-trivial insulator. Okay, now we are interested in this flat band. So this is a T2G orbitals, and here is a non-trivial G2 band, and G2 band here also. So now the question is if we have Coulombic interaction between electrons, so what happens? So the simplest way to think about this electron correlation is to introduce ferromagnetic ordering or anti-ferromagnetic ordering. So here we consider the mean field theory for the ferromagnetic ordering. So exchange field H is acting on the spin. So now, because of the time reverse symmetry breaking, we can talk about the Chan number for each of the band. And then for each of the band, we have this 1 and minus 1, etc. And this is for the small exchange field, and this is a large exchange field case. And this top and the bottom bands are almost flat and obtain the finite Chan number. Then for this weak one, we have the candidate of the anomalous whole quantized anomalous systems for this filling and for this filling for the large exchange field. Okay, so now let's go to this fractional effect. So because
just the small and large means relative to spin orbit, is that the scale?
T. So this U is this is 0.3 T, and this is 2 times T. So large compared with dispersion. So these are boundaries, right? And H is bigger than this boundary.
H is bigger than the band.
Not the spin of the coupling, but boundaries. So these are up spin and down spin. Okay. So now, now this is a projection. Maybe there is some concern about this projection, but we project to the most upper this bands. So we assume the ferromagnetic ordering and also pick up this top bands and occupy this band up to the one-third filling. And then think about the electron-electron interaction between the nearest neighbor site and on site with different orbitals and different orbitals and the same orbitals with the up and down spin U prime and V prime. And now we take this parameters. And I know that this problem is now very crowded, and many people are working on this problem. Now, so this is a very similar calculation to the other people, including the donor Shen, and then, to the band. So we are talking about a single band, and also the spin is quenched because of the ferromagnetism. Okay. And then this is a single band Howard-like models for the nearest neighbor interaction. And then this is a momentum, and this is energy. So there are three degenerate ground states, and you open the gap. This is a momentum, right? And then you have a triply degenerate ground state, and excitation energy has a gap. And also for the ground state, you can calculate Chan numbers, and Chan number is almost exactly a one-third. So that's why with this system, we can expect the fractionalized quantum Hall effect. And important point is that compared with the usual fractional effect, our energy scale is determined by the nearest neighbor Coulombic interaction V. So this is typically electron volt order. So that's why this typical energy is much higher, and we expect the room temperature fractional quantum Hall effect by using this non-trivial flat band. So this is the expectations, and so by tuning this filling into one third, we may have non-trivial many body states. Okay. So now, with the remaining time, let me explain you about our recent work on the non-central symmetric topological insulator. So the inversion symmetry plays some important role, even for the topological insulator. So that is my claim. And this is the same slide, but now all the materials we found up to now is central symmetric for the bulk, right? So you have an inversion symmetry. Then what happens when you have inversion symmetry breaking and a strong spin orbit coupling? So that is so-called spin splitting of the band. And typically this Rashby effect is already observed for the surface or the interface. And this is one example where you put the bismuth atoms into the 111 surface of the silver, then you observe the this spin splitting. Because inversion symmetry guarantees a double degeneracy for each K point, but once you have no inversion symmetry, this spin split. So this is a demonstration by angle resolved photoemission spectroscopy. So this Rashby splitting is now very people pay attention to this Rashby splitting because of the spin current coupling. So this is quite important from the viewpoint of the spintronics. And for example, if you put the current, then you can apply effective magnetic field to the electrons, and sometimes you can reverse the direction of the spin by current. So this giant spin current coupling is very important in spintronics. So now we are interested in the bulk systems, which shows Rashby splitting. This is not interface or surface system, but the bulk systems. So this is a crystal structure. So this must 3 plus and tellurium 2 minus and iodine 1 minus. So because of this structure, you have no inversion symmetry center. If you have the same atoms here and here, then this is the inversion symmetry. But this does not have. But still, the system has a C3 symmetry and also the mirror symmetry. So this is a crystal structure, and this is the first Brillouin zone. So this has no inversion symmetry, right? So because of this, you have so-called Rashby splitting, both for the conduction electrons and valence electrons. So basically, the band structure is made from the bismuth 60 and tellurium and iodine 5p orbitals. And this is a zoom up near the conduction and valence band. So this is so-called Rashby splitting. So this is typically 0.1 electron volt and very large compared with the previously reported Rashby splitting. So you can understand why such a giant rush was splitting all cards from the K dot P standard analysis, right? And this is a formula for the K dot P for the Rashba splitting. And there are three conditions for the giant Rashba splitting. So the one is spin orbital interaction should be large. This is satisfied by the Bismuth P orbitals. And also the narrow gap, because the energy denominator should be small. And for this matrix element, you require the same symmetry between the conduction and valence band. So these three conditions are satisfied in the Bismuth-Terrell iodide. So that's why this second order process between the top and the bottom of the conduction and valence band, so this contributes mostly to the Rashba splitting. So this is a mutual. So that's why the Rashba splitting for this conduction and valence band is almost the same. And this is a circular, right? So namely, this forms a quasi one-dimensional circles for both conduction and valence band. So this is basically the band structure. So this is our ARPES experiment. So these bulk bands are clearly Rashba split, and you can change the energy. Okay. And also you can do the spin resolve the ARPES. This is not a topological insulator. This is the Rashba splitting in the bulk, not the surface states. So here is the theory and here is the experiment. They are quite good agreement between each other. So now, in addition to this linear Rashba, you have so-called cubic term, gamma 3 term, which gives you the out-of-plane component of the spin. So this term will become important in the later consideration. Because of this Rashba splitting, you have some dimensional reduction for the joint density of state, so that is observed by the experimental for the optical conductivity and also theory. So everything is consistent and the band structure works quite well for this material. But up to now, only Rashba, and there is no hint of the non-trivial topology. But now we can do, we know everything about the material parameters and so on. Then we can go to the pressure, high pressure phase on computer, not in the experiment at the moment. But now we have a quantum phase transition occurs. So this is a basic band scheme. So this is actually quite similar to Bismuth-Terrellium, right? And then by the crystal splitting, you have X, Y, and Z orbitals. And furthermore, the spin orbit will split. Right? And by applying pressure, so this ordering of this P orbital will be reversed, and eventually you have a topological insulator. This is a basic picture. And this is a first principle calculation under pressure. This ambient pressure and reduced volume by hydrostatic pressure. And if you reduce the band gap, so the Rashba splitting will be enhanced because this is one of the energy denominator, right? And then this closes the gap at some point, and again open the gap. So this is a gap as a function of volume, and this is a Rashba splitting as a function of the volume V over by V zero.
Closing over just one specific volume?
Yeah, that, yeah.
Points or
yeah,
volume?
This is a point. So that is highly non-trivial. So I will back to this point. So this is a zoom up of the band closing at some K point, which is around the AH line. So this is the AH line. So you close the gap. But around the AL line, you still open the gap. So this is due to the trigonal terms, cubic terms, which is allowed by the C3 symmetry. Here you still open the gap. So if you increase the pressure, first you have a two Rashba split band, then you close the gap. this particular point.
So how many states are degenerate at that point?
6 point. Oh, yeah, this is a 2x2. Because you already split the band.
So that's the direction from perpendicular? Is that around the some point at this axis?
Yeah.
So 1 point in three-dimensional space.
Yeah. So
can that gap be removed?
Yeah, I repeat that. So this is a non-trivial point. This is a highly non-trivial, right? So then again, open the gap. And this state becomes a topological issue. So here is a quantum phase transition between the trivial and non-trivial insulator. So the 6 Dirac.
Where are the 6?
Huh?
Oh, there are more.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, there are 6 equivalent points, right? It's a trigonal symmetry.
So you mean this crossing is along the direction of AL?
AH. Here is AH. AH. AL. Okay? And then somewhere in between. So it is on the high symmetry line, but not the high symmetry point.
If I look from the top, I see 6 points.
Yeah, 6 points. And this is a 2x2, not the 4x4.
So the relevant the map are not symmetric because.
Because this is AH and this is AL. One is this direction and the other is this direction. They are not symmetric.
Oh. Right. So that's a direct.
This one and this one is equivalent. Sorry? Yeah, this
all directions is linear?
Yeah, that's the trouble we have now. We expect k square for the perpendicular direction. Then, it seems this is a k linear in all directions as far as we analyze near this band crossing point. So that's the puzzle we have now. But okay, I'll be back to this point.
What is this dash line?
Huh? Dash line. Oh, this is if you cut this Fermi energy here, right? Then this is a Fermi pocket. Yeah, I intentionally shift the Fermi energy slightly to show the pocket. Yes, the pocket is corresponding to this. And if I put the Fermi energy here, so this is a Fermi surface. So you can clearly see the change of the orbital character from 6p to 5p, and this corresponds to the reversal of band. Quite similar to the Bismuth 3, right? But we cannot classify the states according to the inversion symmetry in this case. But if you put the open boundary conditions, you clearly see the appearance of the Dirac fermion on the surface. So this is another evidence that this is a topological phase transition. And interestingly, this top surface and bottom surface, the Dirac fermion is very different, right? Because we break the inversion symmetry along the c-axis. So the direction of the spin is actually the same for the top surface and bottom surface, because this Dirac crossing point is buried in this conduction band for here, but buried in the valence band here. So it moves from here to here.
The top three figures are adversary?
Yeah.
And these are?
These are lower bottom surface. So this Dirac is quite different. So usually, if you have an echo, then the direction of the spin is reversed. Right? But in this case, it's the same. So this is one interesting feature of this non-centrosymmetric topological insulator. Okay. And now we can also estimate the critical pressure, PC, by calculating the free energy as a function of volume. And our prediction is between the 1.7 and 4.7 GPa. So this is not so unreasonable, like experimentally. So you can do the experiment. And actually, already people are doing this.
So this is RNA with zero?
Because this is recorded, I cannot say. This is not recorded, I can tell you, but. And actually, this is a recent paper by Zahid Hassan's group for the quantum phase transition between the non-trivial to trivial, trivial to non-trivial insulator by alloying bismuth, thallium, sulfur, and selenide, right? By changing the ratio of this selenide and sulfur, he could observe the gap closing and again opening. But in this case, he has an inversion symmetry, and this is a 4x4 Dirac Hamiltonian close the gap at the quantum theta point. So this is a quite reasonable. But there is a paper, theoretical paper by Shuichi, who considered the two cases of the phase transition. So for the 2D case, you have always the critical line or point. But for the 3D case, there are two cases. For the inversion symmetric case, you have a critical point, right? Because you close the gap in here, 4x4. But for this inversion non-symmetric case, so you have the 2x2 structure, and you have a partner, k and minus k, right? And then the only way to cross this phase boundary is make a finite regions of the metallic gapless state. And you rearrange the, this two pair of the massless Dirac fermions and open the gap again. So this is a usual scenario, right? But now, why we have only the one critical point and the inversion asymmetry? So this is our explanation. So the symmetry is C3, right? But here, still we have a mirror symmetry. And combining the mirror symmetry and the time reversal symmetry, this K point along the AH line remains the same. So you have some symmetry along the AH line, which is a compressed conjugation, namely the product of the mirror and time reversal. So this symmetry works. So the reason is that only along this AH line, this Hamiltonian becomes real. So real means one component, namely the F2 becomes zero, only along the AH line. So you exhaust two of the momentum to make the one component of the Dirac to be zero. So that's why you need two additional parameters to tune the sigma 1 and the sigma 3 to be zero. So I think this additional symmetry, namely the C3 and the mirror symmetry and time reversal symmetry, is the reason why you close the gap only one critical pressure and one momentum point. So this Dirac occurs along the high symmetry line. I believe that is the reason. But this consideration gives you the kx square and kz square dispersion naturally, because the matrix element should be analytic function of kx and kz. So that's why I ask my first principal friends to look at the dispersion carefully, but he still say it is a k linear, also this direction. So that is a kind of puzzle at the moment. But the numerics, actually, we are very detailed. I mean, this point is a very fine tuning of the volume we did. But we are quite sure that only one point is critical. They immediately open the gap. So this is what I can say at the moment. But I think this inversion asymmetric system has some new quantum critical point for this topological phase transition.
From the service kicker you had earlier, So at least, so if the loop linear on the direction, at least the other two directions is isotropic. The velocity is very small compared to.
Yeah, but that seems to be almost the same. Not that different.
If you show the firm service earlier,
yeah.
From the second picture, it seems that the topic is very isotropic.
Oh, yeah, but a factor of 2 or 3. Yeah, if you go to the very, very close point, it seems to be linear, not the priority. So that's, I'm puzzled at the moment. So this is around this y direction. So this is linear is okay. But for the perpendicular.
I didn't actually understand what the lines are in the picture, so that.
Yeah?
Yeah, what are the dashed lines?
Okay. So if you assume some Fermi energy here,
yeah.
So this is a Fermi surface.
So
these
are
perfect.
The touching points are where inside those little blue ridges?
Here, and here.
So this
coursing point.
Is it the case that as I get very close to the Fermi energy, those equipotentials don't collapse to a set of six distinct small contours? They remain a large Fermi surface. What you show here is, it doesn't,
No. If you reduce this energy slightly,
yes.
Right? And then this turns into the point.
It does turn.
Yeah.
But you're already at a very low energy and it's not a point.
Yeah. So Sharian is right that this is anisotropic, but still this dispersion seems to be almost linear, perpendicular direction also. Yeah, this I still do not understand. Yeah, we are trying to construct this tight binding Hamiltonian. How this criticality happens? So, okay, I think I have some small comment on the non-centering symmetric topological insulator, but probably I will stop here.
How many minutes you need? I mean, we have 10 minutes.
Five minutes.
That's fine. Yeah.
Five.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Then. Okay. Now let me talk about the non-centrosymmetric topological superconductor. Now we have been talking about the insulator, but superconductor also quite non-trivial due to the inversion symmetry. So it is because once you have an inversion symmetry, you have this type of a Lachuba coupling, as I discussed shortly before, right? So now, in the presence of this Lachuba type interaction, you mixed up the spin singlet and triplet, right? So you cannot distinguish by the parity of the pairing. So this is not so unrealistic in these days because we have materials like a heavy fermion systems and also the interface system. So again, this oxide interface becomes relevant, and you can realize the superconductivity. And people already observe the Lachuba effect for this interface superconductivity. So non-centrosymmetric superconductor is a hot topic. So this is a most simple Hamiltonian, BCS Hamiltonian for this non-centrosymmetric superconductivity. And because of this Lachuba splitting, you can diagonalize the Hamiltonian, and the eigenstate is given by this combination for the plus and minus bands. And if you translate this pairing into this band, namely the plus band and minus band pairing, so you end up with these types of order parameters. So the one is this theta k is the angle, right? Like this. So this forms almost a p plus ip or p minus ip pairing. So for because of this Lachuba splitting, so each order parameter gains some phase and looks like a p plus minus ip. So then, if these two pairings for each band are decoupled, Then here are two copies of the chiral superconductor. Right? So that's why we are so interested in this. But actually, according to this famous tenfold ray classifications, we have a G2 classification of D3 superconductors in two dimensions. So there are two class, only two class. And actually, in this particular case, it depends on the relative magnitude of the S-wave pairing and the P-wave pairing. So this you can understand rather easily, because once you have only S-wave, for example, then you can adiabatically continue to this Rashba superconductor by increasing the Rashba coupling without closing the gap. So then the topologically it should be easier. But if you are starting from this P-wave, then it becomes a non-trivial. So that's why here is a phase transition where you close a gap in one of the band, then you have a quantum phase transition between the topologically trivial and non-trivial. And in this non-trivial case, you can explicitly show that we have a Majorana edge channel, which is helical. So these are some early history. But now the question is, can we make time reversal asymmetric topological superconductors? So this is a proposal by Gus Salma's group and also Alicia. And the idea is a foreign. So previously we have a Rashba split two bands, right? So if you open the gap by the Zeeman coupling, right? So then previously we have a plus and minus band. But when the Fermi energy is within this gap, you have only one band, and this one band is a P plus IP, right? So with this, you can make a P plus IP superconductor by getting rid of the one band by the gap, right? So this is an experimental proposal for this structure, namely attach the S-wave superconductor, proximity effect, and the ferromagnetic insulator. So in this case, only the usual superconductor is enough. Because of the Rashba, you already gain this P plus IP for this band. And this is a phase diagram, right? And please look at this lower panel. And here is a chemical potential mu, and here is the delta, order parameters of the superconductivity. And within this gap, when the chemical potential is within the gap, you have a topological superconductor. So this is a phase diagram. So what we did is to look at the Majorana edge channels. So from the topological classifications, it is guaranteed that we have a Majorana edge channels, right? And here is a topological phase. We change the chemical potential. Here is a topological phase, and here is a non-topological phase. So first we change the chemical potential around this quantum critical point. So now this is trivial, right? You open the gap and no edge channels. And here is the critical point, close the bulk gap and open the gap again. And here you have Majorana fermions. But correspondingly, you can measure the conductance due to the Andreev reflection, right? So because of this edge channels, so here is a peak, right? Because this Majorana edge channel contributes to this conductance. Okay, experimentally, this G is the conductance. We normalize by the normal state conductance. I believe this is the most accessible experimental method to detect Majorana edge channels. Because in this case, you open the gap and nothing. But here you have a peak. Okay? But this order of magnitude is typically 0.1. But now let me go to the other side of the quantum critical point, namely this upper plus mu c. Now the situation is very different, right? So here you have a topological phase, and this is a critical phase. So as you can see, this Majorana edge channel survives even at a quantum critical point. So accordingly, this G conductance is typically of the order of 1. One order of magnitude larger than this case. Right? So it is because of the one-dimensional marginal edge channel survives even at the quantum critical point. And further, if you go to the non-topological phase, so something interesting happens. So namely, the dispersion of the Majorana becomes like that. So it opened the gap. So it is not topologically protected, but still it survives in the non-topological phase. And because of this, density of state gets larger, so you have an even larger conductance for this non-topological phase. So this G becomes very large, much larger than this one, and two orders of magnitudes larger conductance is expected for this phase transition, for this regions, namely this non-topological regions. So the reason is that if you consider the dispersion, right, in addition to this zero momentum, you have another momentum relevant near the low energy region. So that is the origin of this Majorana edge channels, dispersions, and yeah, and so on. So that's why we have the two types of quantum criticality for the phase transition between the non-topological superconductor and topological superconductor. One is Majorana edge channels survives, and the other is without Majorana edge channels here. So this phase diagram is shows the conductance due to the Andreev bound state, and then here is the map. So these transitions are completely different from the viewpoint of the conductance. Okay, I think let me stop here. So the conclusion is that these are methods, issues, and phenomena, and I want to claim that symmetry, in addition to this theta p and this one, xi, so these are three symmetries that are key tenfold way. But if you are interested in the material design, other symmetries like inversion and C3 mirror and so on, so becomes much more rich. And then you can design this variety of phenomena by controlling this symmetry. And sometimes this artificial structure becomes quite useful, especially when you are thinking about the correlated electrons. And especially, I think, non-centrosymmetric topological material is another interesting direction to look at in the future. Thank you very much for your attention.
So we had already some questions, but we have time for more. Yes?
So in your last slide, when you have these two Majorana
forms,
I'm just wondering, what's the effect of disorder if you add scattering between?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, this one should be quite robust against the disorder. But probably once you have this, close the gap, I think this one is not so robust, at least topologically not protected. So, but if you look at this quantity, probably it is a gradual, of course, it will reduce gradually, but not that dramatically. Yeah, no protection for the. But if you are looking at some physical quantity, it actually matters. So it's an order of magnitude different from the conductance.
I have another question. So you showed this topological phase diagram where the topological phase is in the middle. Next slide.
And this one?
Towards the end, where there is two dimensions.
Oh, okay.
So can you give us some argument why non-topological phase is in the middle? Why, you know, kind of opens up this way and not the other way? So I can imagine another alternative. I can imagine that topological phases connect together, whereas here the non-topological phases connect together.
Oh, I see, I see. Okay. Let me see. This is a phase diagram as a function of mu. Yeah, previously, we are changing the chemical potential. So that's why this non-topological are separate, right? Intervened by the topological phase. And here we change the, it's a Zeeman splitting, VG. So for the large VG, let me see. Yeah, previously we are going this way, but now we are going this way. So VG and minus VG are kind of equivalent. Yeah. So you should cut here and look at only VG.
So in the 3D, it's a bit different calorium area.
Yeah.
So if you show the bulk dispersion, would you get a rush line?
Yeah.
But that will be only around two directions. What happens to the third direction?
Ah, the third direction, yeah. Actually, yeah, so this 2D rush disperses along the C direction. So, yeah, you have a simple cosine KZ type.
So the Fermi surfaces are not like two circles with turning party. The Fermi surfaces will be two spheres which touch at some point, or like if I think. So what would be the Fermi surface in 3D?
You're talking about the dog case?
Very, but at low energy, yeah, near the bottom.
Yeah.
Like donuts or something.
Yeah. So the Fermi surface is this ring.
That's a top view. Yeah. You have a 3D one. So, a 2D one.
Yeah, it would close, right? Because you have a dispersion towards a gamma point. So the A point is gamma.
Is there any consequence of this? Is there a divergence of tensors?
Yeah, once you have a totally flat dispersion around the ring, then you can expect any interesting stuff, like exchange instability and so on. So that's why we are interested in this optical conductivity. But apparently, there is no exchange effect observed for the tensor. So because this is a theoretical calculation, and here is the experiment. Yeah, the shape looks almost similar. Although the order of magnitude, this absolute value is a little bit smaller for the calculation, but we do not see a appreciable extension for the conductivity, optical conductivity. But this, right, this sharp light is coming from this flatness of this dispersion. Yeah, this is due to the Lachapelle splitting.
But it's not perfectly flat, right? It's
more a little bit more straight. Yeah,
any questions? Okay, if not, let's think about that.